Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening, Sports City. Let me start this show off right. Welcome back to the cookout. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. I'm feeling some type of way, Sports City. So on behalf of the chefs, on behalf of Sports City, I would like to take the time out right now and apologize to the Ferguson family. I'll say it the right way, the Ferguson family. They call them Slice, Kimbo Slice. Moment of silence, rest in peace, shout out to Kevin Ferguson, a.k.a. Kimbo Slice. Otta took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen, timeless and alive.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like ow, I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunt connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging, I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I wouldn't win insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
Wait. The call number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Excuse me for the tongue twist. I'm sorry that I got caught up. Reason why I apologize at the top of the show. We sat here and kind of clowned the situation of, you know, fights and fighters in MMA. And I'm going to take responsibility because we didn't know which way things had happened. Wasn't even aware of the situation. I went out there and said I wouldn't watch another Kimbo fight, especially the way the last fight went down. Now, he passed on. Now it's like, I wish I could see him fight another day. I wish he could grace the earth, so on and so forth. Now I'm feeling terrible because we got into that topic, that situation. So on behalf of Sports City, I feel responsible to apologize and do the right thing because now I'm feeling terrible because that's a guy that I follow. I'm not even going to lie. I follow Kimbo. All of the situations from his backyard DVD situation to him getting on the MMA, UFC, doing his thing, we will get into that. But I feel deep in my heart that I needed to say something. I got my co-host, my brother Tommy B here. Welcome to the cookout. How are we feeling this evening?
I'm sad. And I feel responsible, too. I'm not letting you take it all on yourself. I feel responsible because I'm the one that brought it up. And I got the news. Ty, you know, I tried to call you last night and you went to bed early last night to protect you. I feel like shit now. I feel like I disgraced the man and everything else, and then I get slapped in the face. Wow. I'm shocked. Rest in peace, Kimbo. And you know, Ty, I didn't know. He was a Miami Hurricane alum. So we lose another brother.
Right, and he was big in the football. That's the crazier part. He was a football player as well. Things didn't go as expected. And I started hearing and reading more into a situation on how Hurricane Andrew basically messed up him and his family's situation. You know, his house being, you know, just thrashed and the devastation of that situation. They were living out of the car, so on and so forth. But like I said, like, I know we'll probably get more into the fighting situation, the fight that he had. things of that nature. I really feel like none of us knew what health situation he was in until after the show. I think Tommy had more of a grip on it of us getting out of the wrap-up yesterday, and then Tommy was trying to let me know what was going on. I definitely did. I was blank-minded. The Sandman had me at that given time. And so on, at the age of 42. And crazy part about it is more about his passing is coming out and them saying that he had heart failure, bad heart. Now, the crazy thing is the way that I was picking apart his last fight against Dada 5000, how both of them were gassed in that fight. One, Dada 5000 probably could have been out of shape. I don't want to pick on him too much, but could have been out of shape. But looking at Kimbo, how Kimbo was in tip-top figure. Like, his frame is phenomenal. But he was gassed, right, in that fight. But now that you hear of him passing and him having a bad heart, I think that could have been a significant role in what was going on in that fight. So now it makes me look at that differently, him fighting with a bad heart. And the crazy thing is you're hearing more about the story that his family's saying that a lot of the supplements that he was taking couldn't have been the cause of his heart failing or being bad at that given time. So, like I said, I feel some type of way. I'm on behalf of it being here at the network and you know, us having fun at the, you know, disposal of Kimbo's name. I feel bad because I was a part of the madness too. And nobody knew. Nobody could predict the future, even though I was taught the tongue is as mighty as a sword. And not to say that we had an effect on it or we caused him to pass on and so forth. But like I said, I feel like I should, you know, step forward and apologize. You know what I'm saying? Especially the participation and the people that have been listening in. I thank everybody. And I didn't even get to say that at the top of the show. I think since Kimbo in the Muhammad Ali situation is overwhelming my thoughts. Thank you, everybody that's been out there downloading the show yesterday. 1,200 downloads, y'all. Yesterday's show was on fire. I don't know. I think people love what's going on in Sports City, but they're down. 1,200 people in a night. I mean, we barely hit 24 hours. Thank you. Thank you to everybody that has been checking us out. That's big in a day. That's big in a day. Okay, so Tommy, if there's anything that's on your mind that you'd like to dig into, whether it was the DVD situations of him having those backyard fights, some of his memorable fights that started out in the octagon, his, you know, things of that nature, I mean, if there's any that you'd like to dig into, please have at it.
Just that word came down right before we came on the show that he needed a heart transplant. That's okay, but he had a fight scheduled for next month, July 16th of this year. What happened if that heart gave out and he died in the octagon? Some of these athletes, and I'm not just Kimba, Chris Bosh, some of these others, they've got to think of their life and their kids and everything else. I understand Kimba grew up rough and was living out of his car and was doing all these DVDs and fighting and getting money for it and everything else. I understand that, but, life is precious, and, you got to really think of that.
Okay, well, let's do it like this. I feel like and at this given time, I get to say it to you because you're a Raven fan. You're a Baltimore Raven fan, so I get to say it to you in the same form that you actually say this towards some of the athletes that are having health situations. And not to say the person that I'm about to describe this to had a health situation because he didn't at the given time, but what he said is probably the 100% exact same way that a lot of these athletes feel. Point in case, Deion Primetime Sanders. Everybody knew once Deion got to the Redskins, it was practically over. Deion didn't have nothing really left in him. He was battling a turf toe. He could barely stay on the field. He makes the move to Baltimore. He was going to a top-notch defense, being with Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and the boys. And he said, you know what? I'm not giving up. because it's that dog in me. It's the dog in me that makes me want to keep going, wants me to get after it, so on and so forth, right? Now you say the names like Chris Bosh. You say the names of, you know, other players out there that are in respected sport venues that put their life on the line. Another guy that's in the same situation of Kimbo Slice, which actually bothers me to my core because I'm a diehard Georgetown Hoyer fan, is Jeff Green. Jeff Green was just a few years removed from having heart surgery. He had the heart surgery. They had to get him off of the floor before his heart gave out on him. Now you got Chris Bosh with a blood clot situation. We've been talking so much about Chris Bosh's situation, Jeff Green and his situation. Now you got Kimbo and his situation. Knowing that, one, Kimbo, I think one of his first backyard fights, he put both of his fists up and was like, this is how I get bread. This is how I feed my family. I still remember this till this day. That was one of the first fights that he had. And knowing that if he got that heart surgery, he probably couldn't fight again. And not to blame doctors to make the right thing happen. And just like you said, picture if he was in the octagon and passed away. It'd be a heavy lawsuit for the UFC. Heavy lawsuit. Dana White would he would have to explain everything. Everything.
He's a Bellator.
And that. But to an extent, what you had sent me was they had advised Kimbo already that he needed that heart transplant. So I'm wondering
right.
if the doctors of UFC had already made him aware before going into the next fight. But if the doctors have given him, you know, reference to getting a heart transplant, he turned it down, then they should exclude him from being a part of the next fight. They can't put him in the ring and risk his life. Picture if he was to die, then it'd be a lawsuit. That's what I'm saying. So this actually digs deep to where this is supposed to go or where it's going to go. So that's huge that you actually addressed that and said, what if it were to happen like that? And I don't know. I'm not glad to see him pass away. I'm not glad to see him pass away. But I'm saying I'm glad that it didn't happen in the octagon. You know what I'm saying? Because then a lot of people that are into the fighting venue, into the MMA, into the UFC venue, you know, have to, you know, set back and wait for a lot of this stuff to die down before the next event happens. So I don't know. I'm mixed emotion in this. This has been one hell of a week. One hell of a week. I can't even say 7 days yet. What was it, the third, the fourth? In 3 days, two names in the fighting world. I mean, one is way bigger than the other, but they're both equivalent men at the end of the day with Muhammad Ali and Kimbo Slice. I mean, one is a worldly figure in a fighting game, and one was a national sensation that started getting international presence being in a UFC venue. So it's tough. And like I said, you know, we just were here speaking on it on a bad note, not knowing that he was in a bad health situation, but I feel terrible. I was saying that all day. I was saying terrible because that's how I felt. I felt bad. And crazy thing is Tommy was trying to hit me up. I see like 3 missed calls. He was sending me texts like, crazy, Ty, what's going on? Get up. I'm like, I don't know what's happening, man. So I hit him up early. I'm like, what's going on? He made Kimbo pass. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I could not believe it. Could not believe it. But like I said, I apologize, people. Caller number 917-889-9592. Tommy, anything else before we get away from him?
Just that he was one bad mother, you know what, in them street brawls. And he beat some dudes up. I mean, wasn't that he was picking off some little girly guys. He was beating up some dudes. I remember watching one video, dude in the backyard. Dude was beating the hell out of his face. And he's standing there screaming at him, hit me! Hit me! And all Kimbo did was throw that left, and the dude just fell forward. Kimbo just stepped back, and dude's face hit the ground.
That's the fight I was talking about when he walked away from dude because the dude didn't want to fight Kimbo no more because his eye was basically on the side of his face. That's when Kimbo walked out to the white truck and said, this is how I feed my family. He put both of his fists up and said this is how he feeds his family. It became an internet sensation, and then, you know, got into the UFC and all the select fights that he had to end up taking on, like Ken Shamrock and how big that situation went down, the loss that he suffered in the ring as well, or in the octagon. Let me not say the ring. He actually had a stint boxing too as well. A lot of people wanted to see him fight Mike Tyson. To me, he had some of the heaviest hands I've ever seen in whatever venue you look at it, whether it's UFC or boxing, some of the heaviest hands, because a lot of as soon as he hit people, it was like they felt his full power. They felt his full power, but I think his career got started too late. I mean, him being in his late 30s and his 40s, you know, fighting is a whole other thing. But you got to respect a lot of these athletes that are fighting late 30s, early 40s, and especially being in MMA, especially doing it in the MMA, you know, because this is basically fight till you tap out, not to a ref, you know, basically feed you taking too much punishment and go wave it off. You know what I'm saying? So I respect every sport. I don't care what sport it is. I respect every athlete out there, even curling. No, let me stop. I don't know about ice skating, so I couldn't say nothing about curling, so let me just chill out. But other than that, Kimbo, man, rest your soul, man. God got you. To the Ferguson family, to the Slice people, my thoughts are with you in prayers. I don't like to say condolences, man. I try to be, you know, heavy-spirited and an uplifting type of individual, man. I guess the best way to look at it is to try to reflect on them in a good note, and all of the good thoughts and memories that you have of them. That's the best way I could say it or look at things. All right. Gave him a solid 17 minutes. Now, tell me, I don't know where you want to go, because we got a ton of stuff today. How about it? Where you want to go? You want to go to how the NHL Stanley Cup is coming to a close? I mean, there's one more game potentially left. The new news
that's
that we're
over.
Hearing out. Right. The new
that's
news
over.
That
it's
we're hearing.
Tomorrow or Thursday. Thursday night, the NHL's over with.
Okay. The new news that we're hearing from the NBA Finals, things of that nature as they head back to Cleveland. Do we go there? You know,
are you talking about the Kent? You talking about the glass star that's not possibly not playing because he got nicked in the back of the head? I mean, we can get into that if you want.
We'll get there. We got time.
You said you wanted the fire started. We can really start a fire with that crybaby.
We'll save it. We'll come back to that. How about this one, Tommy? The Philadelphia Phillies, how about that? I'll go there because this is your division and one of your rivals. I don't know if I can really call them a rival because of the way that they've been playing for the past couple of years, but they've been playing decent ball this year. But their star and you know, heavy payday guy and Mr. Howard hits a grounder. Grounds out, and someone throws a bottle at him. Seriously. Now listen, people. This is Philadelphia, man. They don't play with nobody. This is still the same city that threw snowballs at Santa Claus. Santa Claus got nothing to do with the outcome of the game. Nothing. Like, one of my friends from college, he lives in Philadelphia, right? He's a diehard Eagle fan. I think it was 2 years ago, the game the Lions played the Eagles in the snow in Philadelphia, that game, he had tickets to the game. He was like, I got tickets. You want to go? I was like, of course, but I'm coming back from Vegas. I'll probably be able to fly into Philadelphia after that. He's like, let me warn you. I don't know if I can stop all of them. So it made me think about it. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? He's like, listen, when they tell you that the Philadelphia fans are riding, they mean every last bit of it. They are not holding any punches. They do not play any games with nobody. A lot of out-of-towner fans of the other team don't like to go watch teams play against Philadelphia. He actually sent me another link where the Phillies had a game against the Mets. There were some Mets fans in front of a Philadelphia Phillies crew. These guys spilled all four of their beers on the Mets fan and his son. His son had to be every bit of younger than 8 or 9 years old. He was no older than 10 or 11. I clearly could say his son was like 8 or 9 years old. All four of these grown men, had cups of beer and made it fake like they were, you know, dropping their cups. But how do four men drop their beer at the same time? Especially when beer at the park costs like $8 or $9, maybe 10. They made sure that they spilled their full beer on the top of these guys' heads in Philadelphia. Only in Philadelphia. You mean to tell me, and I understand, that Ryan Howard is not playing up to the money that he is getting. That boy is soaking the city of Philadelphia dry. I don't blame you guys one bit to be mad. But just like it was said, if you're mad at his performance, boom, call him all types of names, whatever you need to do. You threw a bottle at dude. You guys, thankful, and this is the part that I don't feel bad about, it. Thankful that there are plastic bottles. There are plastic bottles, but they can't have glass at the stadiums anymore, unless I'm calling it different. But from what they do out here in the New York area, they can't have glass bottles in there anymore. But still yet, for them to hit him with a bottle or throw a bottle in his direction is a whole nother situation, and it speaks in volumes on the Philadelphia, you know, crowd or fanhood or things of that nature. Your thoughts on what happened to Ryan Howard?
Not surprised at all. Because this is the same fan base that booed Santa Claus and threw snowballs at him. This is the same fan base that cheered when Michael Irvin was laying on the turf and couldn't move. So I'm not shocked. Philadelphia, you got a baseball team that early played over their heads. Now they're playing. I said it. They're 2 games under .500. Get ready, because it's going to be even worse, I'm afraid. It's going to get worse. I'm not shocked at all that Philly fans, Sixer fans, Eagle fans, Flyer fans, Philadelphia, period. It does not shock me at all.
You even had Charles Barkley come up and speak on his behalf, because Charles Barkley, a former Philadelphia player when he played for the Sixers up until I think it was 92 before he was traded to the Phoenix Suns, he said that is not acceptable. No way, shape, or form should they be throwing a beer bottle at him. If anything, just push for him to get traded or leave the city of Philadelphia, things of that nature. But this is what it's coming down to. I understand their frustration. I understand how much money that they had wrapped up into one guy. This is how I kind of looked at. I feel bad in calling my own team out, looking at Joe Mauer and all of the money that Joe Mauer has been getting. He signed a $184 million contract. He has never been heavily influential in any season or run for the Twins. I mean, he has, you know, had a good couple of bats here and there. But he's a grounder type of guy. He's not even lifting the ball up. Or looking at, you know, a guy that I hate to call out right now, but looking at Calvin Johnson, richest player in the NFL, well, richest contract in the NFL, just left from now. But now it gives the Lions a lot of room to maneuver without having a whole bunch of money soaked up into one guy. But now you look at the same situation with Philadelphia, and them not getting the same stuff that they had out of Ryan Howard since, I want to say, 2009 when they had their World Series run. You know,
he's
like
not
that.
Been
so,
the same. Sorry to cut you off. Ryan Howard's not been the same since he had that. He tore that Achilles in the playoffs. I believe
right.
It was against St. Louis to end out. He grounded out to the pitcher at first base and come running out of the batter's box and tore it. Didn't even make it out of the batter's box, if I remember correctly. He's not
right,
been right since.
And that was the year 2010 after they had made the World Series, you know. So I agree with you. You know what I mean? That could have been the decline, but, I mean, if he catches a hold of a pitch, of course he's a pull hitter. He'll end up getting it out of the park, but it's unfortunate that the hometown crowd feels like that, and let alone it, you know, in an interesting series up against the Cubs as of yesterday. They also had the Brewers before. They're going back and forth, win-loss situation. I don't know how they
the
get
Nationals
out of situation.
The Nationals just went up there and swept them. I believe it was last weekend. We went up there and swept them.
Right, and that was actually in front of a sweep from the Cubs. The Cubs also swept them, too. So they've had been taking their fair share of losses, but trying to get their swagger back. But still, yeah, like I said, you know, at the early portion of the season, they started out playing well. They're starting to have their decline, and, you know, the frustration of the fans, if you will, throwing a bottle at him, I think that's unacceptable. But I think the good thing about it is that it was a plastic bottle. Unless they do have glass there, that's a whole different story. But I know in New York, especially at Yankee Stadium, they cannot have glass anywhere in that stadium, anywhere, not even in the bleachers. Nobody can have glass bottles, so.
And this right here is why no big-time free agent will sign there. They're not going, would you want to deal with that? You have a bad week, and you get bottles thrown at you, or God forbid, what else?
Snowballs. Them waiting outside for you. I mean, it's Philly, man. It's Philly. Like,
I wouldn't sign there. I'd sign somewhere else before I would ever sign there if I was blessed to have the talent.
And this is every sporting venue in Philadelphia. If their team is not playing up to par, you better have your fingers crossed.
No, that's a fight for 76ers then.
I know. Especially the way that they looked last year. Oh, my goodness. Angelique Okafor got into a street fight, too, but that wasn't in Philadelphia. He got to a street fight out there in Boston.
Yeah,
but
they're talking about trading him, aren't they? Him and Noel. Last I've seen that they were talking about working out a trade for them.
Well, the crazy thing about that is they're putting their eggs in one basket on Joel Embiid, who has not even played one play of basketball, and thinking that he's the future. He hasn't played basketball in 2 years. In 2 years, since college, he hasn't even played a bit of pro basketball. So that's what bothers me about that. But hey, we'll get away from that. I just had to get that out there because I know he said something about the NL East while we were in the green room, and I was like, thank you for saying the Phillies, because I cannot wait to talk about the Ryan Howard situation. Just seeing that, I didn't even laugh. It wasn't funny. It just like, are you serious? It just like Tommy said, I wasn't surprised because it's like, what next from Philadelphia? What next? The Bullies. They call them the Broad Street Bullies. Okay. Tommy, your turn at the cookout. Anything that you'd like to discuss or throw out here on the grill, if you would like to dice up anywhere, please do so.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
So that means I can talk about the crybaby. It comes down, I get a message, an alert, that Kevin the Crybaby Love, that is your new nickname for me until you show me that you're not a crybaby in a glass jar, is questionable for game three tomorrow night. Really, Kevin? Questionable. My 7-year-old daughter gets hit harder than you do sometimes when I play with her. Rough. And she don't cry and quit and boo-hoo and whine. Suck it up, Kevin. You got nicked in the back of the head. Big deal. Why is it every time it gets tough, it gets challenging, he quits on his team or he comes down with an injury? I mean, really? it really wasn't. It did not look that he got hit that hard for him to lay there and have the cameras. Hey, where's the post camera? I gotta lay here and heart make look like I'm hurt. Put the camera on me. If you don't want to be there, Kevin, leave. Opt out. Give them the money. Tell them they don't have to pay you and take your whiny crybaby ass back to the West Coast with the all the other prima donnas that play out there. Because you're in Cleveland. And trust me, I've been through Cleveland. So you obviously don't fit. Show up, lace up, and earn that money that you got paid. Because you're not doing it at all.
And to be honest, I think you better take it back about the Western Conference, because the Western Conference is looking way tougher than the Eastern Conference. Let me just tell you that right now, especially the way the Golden State Warriors are playing them. So, I mean, there are some prima donnas like, Blake Griffin, who I really don't like to call out Blake, because Blake is built like a doggone linebacker slash who knows. But the way that he flops around, like he's not 6'9". Blake is every bit of 6'9", 250, and be flopping like people could barely touch him. So that's a whole nother issue. But the Kevin Love situation, Kevin Love, I'm going to say it like this as Tommy throws this out there on the grill. First and foremost, there is no guarantee that you make the NBA Finals every year, even though a lot of players are alongside LeBron James, and for the past 6 years, it's been a guarantee. It's been a guarantee that you'll get to the NBA Finals to be alongside LeBron. But it's a hard road to work to get there. Unless you're in the Eastern Conference. Then you got something cooking. But it's not a guarantee if you were to get moved and go to the Western Conference. There's no guarantee if you leave Cleveland and go to another team outside of LeBron, like you really got to play LeBron and could actually end up edging him out. It's not easy to get there. So with all of that questionable talk, you better tell those doctors you're fine. Try to pass every concussion test, because, yes, I've had to go through a concussion test, and it wasn't because of football. It was because I got dinged in the head by a piece of metal. So I know about the concussion test, believe me. You better try and pass that as best as possible, because your team cannot afford to go down 3-0 in this series. If you guys lose Game 3 in Cleveland, mark my word from yesterday in the wrap-up, you will be swept. Swept. I know that you don't want Golden State to be looking at bottles of Dom Perignon or Cristal or Ace of Spades in a doggone locker room. I know they do not want to see that golden trophy just glistening somewhere. Believe me, they will punish you boys in your arena again, and brought bottles once again, state of Ohio. Yes.
You know what'd be funny? He doesn't play. Okay? They go out and they win tomorrow. Then he comes back and plays I guess they would play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it is. Then they come out and they lose. Wouldn't that look funny?
If that's the case, if Kevin Love sits out Wednesday and they win, he comes back and loses that game, I think, which will potentially be Father's Day, if I'm not mistaken. If they lose that game, I think Cleveland will try their best to move him. I think so, because he doesn't fit then. I don't think he does fit it.
That he'd be the oddball out next season?
Which, like I said, I thought that it'd be a situation with all of the money that he signed for, it's not like another team is going to pick that contract up. But I think Cleveland would try their best to unload him, if that's the case. If that's the case, then I think they would try their best to unload him. But I don't want it to look like that. I don't want to put this all in Kevin Love's lap, but I do want him to give an effort while he's at home, while the crowd is on his side. Every shot that he takes, they hold their breath. He knocks down a shot, they go crazy. The crowd goes wild. You don't want to miss that. You've never been to an NBA Finals outside these first two games right here. And let's be honest. I'm going to be honest. I can't, undersell or underplay him getting hit in the back of the head. because that's a place that they say they don't, that nobody should get hit is in the back of the head, because you can black out. You can black out. But I don't think it was that vicious of an elbow. It was an elbow, though, so it is hard. But I don't think that was as vicious as an elbow. And it wasn't like he was knocked out, because he got up. He got up. I think he laid there to sell it, hoping to get a call, some type of call, and get the ball to go the other way. Kevin Love, it's not working. It's not working. You're going to need to go out there and play.
He got back up and played for what, another 4 or 5 minutes before he ran off to the bench? So he couldn't have been that bad.
Again, like I said, again, I don't know the severity of the situation. They're trying to say it's a concussion. They're saying that he's questionable, like you informed me, that he's questionable for tomorrow night's game. But to me, this is personal. I'm not trying to be too analytical about this one. Kevin Love, you have to try and give it a go. The Warriors are already feeding everybody in the world that mantra, the strength is in numbers. Cleveland, you don't have that many numbers on that roster right now that are participating at a good level at all. Kevin Love, you need to be a part of this. You need to. You have to. Yeah. But just like Tommy said.
I mean, I'm going to take anything away. Maybe he does have a concussion. And then if so, I'm sorry. I'll apologize. I'll come on the show and say I'm sorry. But I know what it's like to have concussions. I've had 4. Too severe, where I didn't even know where anything, where I was at, who was around me, didn't know anything. And I've got to watch what I do, hitting my head and playing around, because I could seriously hurt myself. Like, doctors have seriously warned me. And it sucks being 6'9", sometimes walking into people's houses that are real low.
Right. I know. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at you being 6'9", trying to get people houses that are small. I know that's funny, man. But I think that's the same precaution that he has to use as well. You know what I mean? Just in case if he runs into the same situation and gets another elbow to the head. You know what I mean? And looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, as we were talking about Philadelphia, it's still clear to me of me thinking of another player that was in that same situation. I don't know if you remember Brian Westbrook, the former running back for the Eagles, who ended up playing with the 49ers, and they were like, if he suffers another concussion, he'll have basically mush for brains type situation. So they actually forced him to retire. Like, they forced him out of the league. So this is something that I think that Kevin Love trying to be precautious about. But this is like the Super Bowl. This is like the World Series. This is like the Stanley Cup. This is the NBA Finals, man. You guys have 5 games left. It's necessary. It's necessary. That means if they win the next 2, there is no 7 games for you. They win one on your floor, you might as well just say that they're going to win game 4, because let me be honest, I don't think that Cavalier team will show up if you guys are down 3-0. Even your captain LeBron said it. LeBron said that you guys can't afford to be down 3-0 at all. At all. They need that full team, and they need a game plan. They need a game plan. What do you think needs to be done outside of Kevin Love being there for them to be successful in this game 3?
They need to hustle, hustle, hustle. And when I say that, they've got to get back on defense, all of them. LeBron can't go running to the paint. He's got to stay out and key and guard his man. I mean, he stood there guarding, that is at least twice, he had Green. Knowing Green can pull up and shoot the 3, he runs to the paint, leaves Green wide open, he pops them both. They've got a rebound. I mean, you pay Tristan Thompson all this money, he better get every damn rebound that he can possibly get. Now, I will say he showed good. You pick that. When you pick the next factor, you pick the right ones. I'll give you that. So they took him out, and it snowballed. And they just got to start, and they got to hit shots. have to hit shots. They got to get out and play Cleveland basketball. And that's get the rebound, push it up the floor, and get the dunk.
It was easier when they were playing up against the Eastern Conference to get those shots off. It's different when they play the Western Conference. It's different. And it was something that Magic Johnson was saying today. He was saying it today. Cleveland is not seeing a Detroit Piston, nor an Atlanta Hawk, nor a Toronto Raptor. Think of the three teams that we just mentioned right there. That was their path to the NBA final. The toughest team on Ireland was Toronto. This is Toronto's best year ever. This is their best year ever. And that was the last task for Cleveland to get done to get here. They didn't face somebody that was some juggernaut. It was Lowry and DeRozan.
I still say Miami could have beat them.
Right, right. I mean, if Miami was to be successful against Toronto, but it didn't happen. So with that being said, it was Toronto there at the end of the day. Atlanta, I don't know where Atlanta went. I think Atlanta stayed somewhere in Savannah. They didn't come to Atlanta. They were in Savannah.
They stayed in
Boston. Right, right, or something. They were enjoying the scenery somewhere. And the Detroit Pistons, well, after Reggie Jackson pulled that crap, I mean, Andre Drummond couldn't hit free throws. Andre Drummond, all summer long, you better be with a shooting coach shooting free throws. You could already jump out of the gym. You could dunk and rebound like crazy. Free throws all summer long. At least 800,000. At least 800,000. At least 800,000. Because I heard that number for Gilbert Arenas and Anthony Morrow. Those dudes shot 800,000 shots over the summer when they were respectively giving their run, you know, in the offseason. If they can do that, you can put up that many free throws to get it right. To get it right. So that was their task for them to get through the Eastern Conference. Now they're playing a legit, real team in Golden State coming out of the Western Conference where Golden State just got out of a knock-em-out, drag-em-out series up against the Thunder. They were back against the wall one game away from being defeated. So they already know the potential of losing a series. They're ready. Golden State is ready. I don't think Cleveland could sit back and watch this happen any longer. We got more. I mean, I know that you were going for San Jose yesterday. San Jose lost up against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins are a game away from icing, no pun intended, this Stanley Cup situation going back to Pittsburgh. Can the Sharks survive? Also, the Muhammad Ali situation at his funeral. They're saying at his funeral he is expecting 15,000 or more people at the funeral. 15,000? Like not 1,500. I'm not saying 1,500. 15,000 people. I heard that number and my jaw dropped. Dropped. 50. And they're saying for his funeral, if people don't get there on time, they will miss out. So there's going to be more than 15,000 people trying to get there. More than that. So, Tommy, wherever you like to go, if you want to stick to baseball, if you want to throw this situation around with the Sharks and the Pens, or we can get into the Muhammad Ali situation, where would you like to go?
I got something else that I think might get to Sports City. It's kind of controversial, but not controversial. Talk about the Olympics, because when I say talk about the Olympics, I'm talking about basketball. And you know where I'm going with this, Ty. The Olympics are coming up this summer. There are two big names for the basketball USA team that have withdrawn. Steph Curry and DeMarcus Aldridge have dropped, said they are not playing. They say Curry says it's because he wants to give his knees rest. I can see that. LaMarcus Aldridge says it's because of his finger. Supposedly, there's more players to come out saying they're not playing. Todd, do you really think it's that they just want to rest their bodies, not go out and win a gold medal and I can't say support the country, but represent the country? Or is it because of what's going on over in Brazil where the Olympics are being held, chemicals or something with the water? It's not healthy to drink.
I think so. I think so. And another name, just to add to the list, I heard Chris Paul is not going to attend the Olympics either, from what I'm hearing. So it's not only Steph Curry, it's Chris Paul as well. Two of the notable point guards that have starting potential for Team USA are supposedly out. One for Steph Curry, the way that I measured it, I was like, I think Steph Curry was sitting out because if they win the NBA Finals, I don't think he wants to let his tricks out of the bag and kind of keep his secrets to himself, things of that nature. But knowing that they got the Zika virus out there and then knowing that, you know, the water and health issues are playing a factor, I think that's why a lot of these athletes are trying to stay home. Literally, I still feel like the U.S. is still the powerhouse amongst all of the countries because a lot of the countries that go into the Olympics have at most like 5 or 6 NBA athletes, where the U.S. from top to bottom, 1 through 12, is a full NBA roster. So I still, you know, with the missing pieces of some of these players, you still have Paul George, you still have LeBron, you still have Kevin Durant, I think Klay Thompson is still going. Russell Westbrook's going. They still have these players out there. So unless you start to hit some more of the bigger names start to fall off, then I think it draws for, you know, raised eyebrows, thing of that nature. But right now, I still feel like the USA team is still somewhat safe to repeat to bring gold home once again like they did in 2012. But it is an interesting situation that a lot of these athletes are backing out before they get to the preliminary situation, before they start to address on who's being selected to be on the USA team before the summer comes around. I mean, we are in the month of June right now. I can't even believe that I'm saying it like that. We are in the month of June, and they will have to start selecting this team by the finish of this NBA final.
I think a lot of it's due to health. They say it's not that, but they're not going to say that. They go out and say, well, it's because of this and that. Steph's might be because he wants to rest. Because, I mean, he does have the knee issues and the ankles. That I can understand. But LaMarcus, I didn't know LaMarcus had a finger injury.
No, his finger was dislocated. I remember that in the playoffs this year. They had to tape his fingers together. He has bad fingers. It was his thumb last year while he was in Portland, and this year it was one of his fingers that he had to tape together, but he's been playing phenomenal regardless of the injury.
I mean, if we start losing like LeBron or KD or Russ, the real MVP, then we need to figure out what are they going to do. They're going to start picking these college players that did well, like Ben Simmons and all. I mean, it's going to be very interesting.
At least Buddy Hield. Let me stop. But Ben Simmons, I don't know if he would be a part of the USA team. He might be on Australia. He might be on the Australian team, so that'll
be
a whole nother.
Yeah, too. I forgot about that because he is from Australia.
Right. So I don't even know if he gets to play in the U.S. So that's a whole nother situation in itself also. Okay. There was a topic that I had at the top of my head. I lost that one. I did want to get into the situation of that the Penguin situation, seeing how that ended up wrapping up, how the Sharks took care of business. The Penguins took care of business in San Jose up against the Sharks yesterday. Tommy says it's over. Your thoughts on how and why? I mean, with the Penguins taking care of business yesterday, your thoughts on everything here? I mean, is this a situation where, you know, so much in front of the Sharks and all of the off-ice situations, or the, just that the Penguins are destined and knowing that they have the right key players to get it done with Malkin and Sid the Kid, Murray as well, Murray being influential in their win yesterday up against the Sharks. Your thoughts?
I watched this last night up until late in the third period when the Penguins went up 3-1, I turned it. I looked at my wife and said, this is over. She goes, what do you mean? I said, Pittsburgh wins its next game up in Pittsburgh. Didn't know it was Thursday, but it's Thursday at 8 o'clock. This is over. They're destined. They played well. They ride the momentum, getting into the playoffs and everything. They're on a roll. San Jose had to win that game to guarantee them another game at home. Now, I mean, they could still get another game at home. They could possibly win Thursday night. I don't see it. Pittsburgh's going to close this out. They know they win. They won the Stanley Cup. They won the championship and everything. They don't want to give San Jose a shot. Because, I mean, they still could get a shot. If they could steal this game Thursday night, go back to San Jose and win again, hey, it's a brand new series. I just don't see it. I don't see Pittsburgh choking this away. I think Pittsburgh wins it all. And I hate to see that. My Capitals should be. Hell, the Rangers would have been all right. I've been happy to see the Rangers. I can't stand seeing Pittsburgh win this.
Don't even start to talk about the Blue Shirts because I will get a completely messy thought in my head on how we let it go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh knocked us out in this postseason, and it is looking like they're on our run that we were supposed to be on.
Bill Bandit knocked us out.
Yeah, but we basically gave them the series. We beat them last year. We just beat them last year. And then come back around and watch them beat up on us. It's just pummeling. It's just pummeling.
Do you think it's over, Kai? Do you think Pittsburgh wins it, or do you think San Jose can come in there and steal a game?
The reason why I feel San Jose may have a shot is because San Jose can play that physical breed of hockey. If they get them involved and playing hockey, I mean physical, and checking them and making the Penguins play outside of their minds, play different game, the Sharks can steal it. They can go into Pittsburgh and steal one, but the way that they lost that game last night, losing by 2 goals as well, and for Murray to turn it on and to have a huge night saving and basically stopping these guys with shots on goal, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but the Sharks have played good puck up until this point. But I feel like they have a shot. They just have to come out there and get inside the Penguins' mind. They basically have to play physical and make this a dirty game. Not like dirty to the point where we'd be like, they can't do that on the ice, but to the point where it's like they forget not to, you know, keep their stick on the puck and lose the puck and get the puck turned over, things of that nature, to go in the favor of the Sharks. That's the only way I see this happening. Otherwise, Pittsburgh's destined. They're going to be dancing in their locker room and popping bottles, just like I said about this Cleveland Cavaliers situation. Tommy, any other topic before we get out of here? I have one topic about, and that's the one that I had in my head. Klay Thompson called his father's L.A. Lakers Showtime team out with Magic and Kareem and said that the Splash Brothers and the Warriors can beat Magic and the Showtime Lakers.
Then I seen this. I think it's hilarious. Because I'm telling you right now, the Showtime Lakers with Magic, Worthy, Kareem, and them boys, no. Showtime would have won this. I'd say it's a 7-game series. I'm saying it's a sweep. Showtime. If it's rules back like it was back then, because you give me one player that could stop that skyhook of Magic, that could stop the skyhook from Kareem, who's going to keep James Worthy off the boards?
That's exactly everything that you're hitting on is exactly what Magic was saying. Because I don't think Bogut could beat Kareem if he tried. They'd be in trouble. That is a line of defense against Kareem. They would be in trouble. Like a lot of teams have been picking on Bogut, even though Bogut's been having a good first two games up against Cleveland because they haven't been playing a big to start the game out. That's why he's been successful. But they've been actually attacking him. And here goes another stat that I did not really pay attention to when the Showtime Lakers was out there playing. Do you know that they were averaging 118 points a game? No three-point shooting. They weren't even shooting threes to get 118 points. Are you serious? That's ridiculous.
Magic Johnson could post-step up. And it'd be a mismatch. He outweighs Steph by over 100 pounds, I guarantee you.
Steph would beat him. Steph would have to beat Byron Scott. They would put Klay Thompson on Magic or Draymond, however. I don't know how that would go down. It would have to be either Draymond or Iguodala or Klay. It could not be. Steph would be on a bench. If he had to be Magic. Magic 6'9", Steph is 6'3".
I mean, I just don't see Steph getting them shots up like he does either. They'd be all up in his jock. Across half court, they would have him on lock.
And here goes another situation. There was no hand checking. You know what I mean? So back in the day when there was hand checking, so picture them, they can't touch Kareem and Magic while they're doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? So it makes it even more of a difficult situation for, the quote-unquote greatest team of all time in the Warriors going up against the Showtime Lakers. But Magic has been very passionate about arguing about this. I mean, Magic is really into it, saying, man, you can put up all Lakers against them any different.
I like to have heard Pat's opinion on this one, since he's talked so much about him being a Laker fan and talked so much about Golden State. I like to hear what he thinks.
Yeah, see, and that's great that you pull that out, because then I think he would actually go back to his Lakers because he is a Laker fan. You know, so I think he would go back to the Lakers, but the way that he's been so pro Golden State, it would be different to see that if Pat did go in the direction of Golden State, if he were.
I just don't see Golden State. They could be any of the teams that we grew up watching, Ty. I just don't. I don't think they couldn't beat the Bulls, the good Suns teams, the Showtime Lakers, the Birds back in the day, and Mikhail, and the Bad Boy Pistons. The rules are different now. So, I mean, you can't handshake, you can't touch, it's just different. I'll even put the 94-95 Knicks. I mean, with Starks and Ewing and Oakley and Mason and them, I just don't see it.
Okay, fair enough. I just had to get that when I was there. Do you have another thing to throw out on the grill?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. I did try to, you know, get him to get his baseball out there if he had anything.
I mean, if you want to talk baseball, we can't. I mean, there are some races that are tightening up.
Okay, well, give me something. Give me something before I have to try and close it up.
Well, you got the Central. That, I mean, I don't want to talk, have you disappointed because, well, we all, Sports City knows why. So let me stay away from the Central. Let me see what I can find here. Let's go to the AL West, where you've got Texas got a 4-game lead. Then you got Seattle, Houston, that I'm really not shocked. The team in the West, in the AL West, I'm really shocked about is the Anaheim Angels. They are 26-31, 9 games out of first place. I would not be surprised, and I said it on our baseball show, there's not a lot of changes coming in next year with that. I would not be shocked at all. With all that talent they got out there in Anaheim, and they're, I mean, wow.
Do they break this team up next season?
If they don't turn this around, I see it. I mean, you can't let Trout go. But,
right.
I mean, Albert could be gone. They could be trading C.J. Wilson. See, that's the thing. Their starter, I don't think he's back yet. So, when he gets back, we'll see what happens.
And I'm trying to find an injury report quickly. I don't see anything about them having injuries.
But I know C.J. Wilson didn't start the season. And he was supposed to come back and make some minor league starts before they put him back onto the roster. Back on the roster. So, let's see here. The NL Central... I kind of don't want to say it's over.
You're right. C.J. Wilson is on a 60-day DL. He is out. Okay, so he is out.
That's what I thought. Let's see. The NL Central, that's it. Unless Chicago gets really cold and Pittsburgh, St. Louis really get hot and turn it on, that division could be over.
So you think it's all Cubbies, huh?
Yeah, I said that beginning of the season. I thought Chicago would win it. Their big goal, their big challenge is to get over to the top in the postseason. Can they finally get to the World Series and win it? And if they do, good Lord, just wait and see what Chicago ends up like.
I think I would have to go out to Chicago and see for myself. In which they are losing to the Philadelphia Phillies 2-0 right now in the middle of city of Philadelphia. They are losing to the Phillies. It's so fitting that we were talking about the Phillies earlier, and they're up right now on the best team in baseball. It's funny. Any other race that you'd like to talk about? If you want, you can throw AL Central out. I'll let you do it. You can if you want. It's up to you.
Yeah,
not,
that division's really starting to become good again.
Starting?
I mean,
wait,
Cleveland. Cleveland's a back. I mean, Cleveland's playing well, woke up, played well. Kansas City is really playing well lately. Detroit's playing well. I mean, they're a game over 500, but better than what they were. The team that I told everybody, and I hate saying this right now, because my Nationals are in Chicago right now and playing a three-game series. So I'm leaving them alone until after the series, and then I'll say something.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, great. The White Sox. He's talking about the White Sox. Yeah, now. Good. Because it always comes for me, Karma. Go get him. Karma, go. Get in your car. Go get him.
This division is becoming to be really interesting in watching. I've been really watching this division.
The best division in baseball. The best division in baseball.
I don't know about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Look at the records. The Twins are the only one that's messing it up.
Yeah, well, the NL East was there until Philadelphia decided to be Philadelphia.
I'd be calm down
before the White Sox decide to drop, because I'm telling you, it's coming. And I said it all when Nacho spoke on them and everything. I said, watch, they will fall. And here it comes. And now since I said that, they're going to sweep my Nationals. Watch.
Karma, I don't have nothing to do with this. I don't have nothing to do with it, Karma. I'm chilling.
I'd like to see Minnesota make it more competitive, but I'm sorry, Todd. I was looking at what I'm looking at now. Wow. I still think Kansas City and Detroit fight for this division at the end of the season.
The reason why I say they're the best division in baseball, Kansas City won the World Series last year. They made it to the World Series the year before and just got beat by San Francisco. So back-to-back years, they've been there, and the Royals are turning it around once again, and they're in a dogfight at the top of the division. Dogfight. Complete dogfight. Complete dogfight.
And that was last year.
No, I'm talking about right now, too, though. I'm saying last year they won the World Series, and this year they trying to get back to that form and in a dogfight in the division for this year. Think about it. They are a full game away from fourth place. They're in second place, a game away from tie for third, or however you look at it. Fourth place is right there nipping at their heels. Right there. I've been trying to tell y'all this for years, man. AL Central is the best division in baseball, man. I've been trying to tell y'all this, man. This is what I have been seeing for years, for my life, watching baseball, man.
Best division in baseball, right?
Right.
Okay, now let me tell you numbers now, that's you. My Nationals played Detroit, swept them. We played Kansas City, would have swept them. We took two out of three. Would have swept them, would have been for Pat while I'm blowing that. We swept Minnesota.
That's saying something.
I'm just throwing up. Best division in baseball.
Don't laugh.
The White Sox. Playing the White Sox, they've got their, I think, 2-3 and 4 pitching. So we'll see. And we haven't played Cleveland yet. So we'll see with the East and everybody. The Mets have beaten you all. I have to pull up the Mets schedule and see what they've done in the Central. But the Central's been taking a butt whooping to the East. In the NL.
So far, all you told me is about what the Nationals did. That's all you've told me so far.
Well, the Mets have done well, too, against the Central.
Listen. 4 out of the 5 teams in the AL Central are above 500. That means that they're playing exceptional baseball. The one team That is not, I'm pissed off to say it. I don't even want to say it. Okay?
Yeah, but the Phillies, we had four teams. We had four teams, too. And we were the best division in baseball. But now the Phillies have to play like the Phillies.
They call that past tense when you say had. When you put the D or the VE, that's past tense. Okay? The
AL East is heating up too. With Baltimore, half a game up on Boston. Toronto, 3.5 games out.
Right, and the Yankees and the Rays are under 500. Under 500.
Right. I'm shocked with what the Yankees are doing. I thought they'd be better. I really thought this division would come before teams, Grace. Really
watch out,
did.
Watch out for the month of July. That's when the Yankees start playing good ball. Right around now, June, July, but it's more or less July. When that all-star break leaves, the Yankees play better. That's when I really – if they're not playing good by July, then it's for real. With the slump that they're in right now, it's for real. And the crazy thing about
July
is –
too late.
Right. No. I still feel like they'll win here, lose there, win here, lose there. I still feel like they'll be hovering around 500 up until that point. Plus, also in the month of July, that's A-Rod's birthday. You know this is potentially A-Rod's last season. So you know they'll try to go for broke to try and help him be postseason relevant. Just like the Red Sox are doing this for Big Poppy. I feel it. All right. So, anything else before we get away from the diamond?
Yeah, all the other divisions are really pretty much still. I mean, the East, I still think, was a two-team race, even though the Marlins are right there, four games. But the Central, I said the Cubs. The NL West, I mean, the Dodgers are right there, four games, but I believe that one's pretty much over. I still think San Francisco runs away with it.
So can you just agree with me the best division in baseball is the AL Central?
Yeah.
Okay, finally. Yes, World City. This is what I'm talking about. I finally got him to agree with me. Yes. Gee, this is what I have to do. And he tried to fight me with all of what the Nationals did to the AL Central. Okay, bravo. They swept the Twins. They swept them. Yeah, like you sweeping the Twins is saying something. These dudes got 40 doggone losses. You happy? Are you happy?
We did. Hey, we swept Detroit, too. And went to Kansas City and put a whooping on them.
That's when everybody was stinking in the division. Detroit was terrible at the beginning of the season. Kansas City was terrible at the beginning of the season. Look at them now. You even said it. You even said everybody's playing good now. You even said it.
They are playing better. But, hey.
If you survive this series against the White Sox, then you got something to talk about, at least just for the Nationals. At least.
I don't think we sweep the White Sox.
What if they sweep you guys?
We can take two out of three.
It all comes down to
what Ross does tonight. And it depends on what Scherzer shows up tomorrow.
What if they sweep you guys?
Hey, it wouldn't shock me.
Okay, there we go. It wouldn't shock me. I got the real Tommy now. Now I got the real him.
It would not shock me. Because you never know. I mean, you don't. Ross is still young. What, second year in the league? Max Scherzer, you don't know which Max Scherzer is going to show up. The 20K strikeout Max Scherzer, the no-hitter Max Scherzer, or the Mets Scherzer that gives up 4 or 5 home runs in a game.
But we'll see. They know Scherzer in this division. They know him in the AL Central. Believe that. He was a part of that Tiger team. They know him. So it ain't like it is something new that they've seen. They've seen him before. All right, well, we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the cookout.
Good show, and hopefully be back tomorrow for the baseball. If not, I'll be in on Thursday for the crossover. Otherwise, rest in peace, Kimbo.
That is for sure. And Washington started the game. I got a man on first batter. Next batter, double play turn. So
yes,
I better chill.
I'm watching it. You don't have to give me play by play.
I cook. I sent Karma down 95. I sent her out of here. I told her to leave. I gave her gas money and told her, go. Go get her.
95
is
right by me. It's to the west. It's to more of to the east of me. So you sent it straight on down by me. It's to the east.
She know how to get off. She know how to get off the highway. Why can't I give you play by play? You making me watch the game. You making me watch the game during the doggone show. Oh my god.
Well,
goodness.
I always watch the Nationals during the show.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm going to leave him alone. I don't want no problems. And I missed the topic, too. I should have talked about it, but I won't because we are at the tail end of the show. I'm going to say this before my closing. Aqib Talib, get it together. Get out of those streets. They are not for you right now. You are lucky they shot you in your leg. You just won the Super Bowl and got shot in the leg 4 months after winning the Super Bowl. Unreal.
Yeah, you probably went down there in Dallas to run his mouth to flashing that Super Bowl ring.
I don't think, did he get it yet? I don't think they get the Super Bowl ring yet. I'm not sure if they got
that's
it.
That's right.
If
they don't get it until opening. That's right. The opening season.
Right. If he'd have got the ring that fast, I'd have been like, whoa. But even if still, this is the same guy that was in trouble with his mom down there. Just a few years ago, now it's him again down there in Texas once again and got shot. So, like I said, Aqib Talib is 30 years old. You do not need to be in this situation. Get it together, man. The streets aren't for you, man. You're too old for this. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Thank you to everybody that's been checking us out. I'm still thankful and happy for 1,200 downloads. That's huge, man. Keep coming. Keep telling a friend to tell a friend, people. Sports, I love it, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'll be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down. We gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'm
ready to go. Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me. But I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money.
Who would have thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.